So, Jesus met a man with leprosy. We do not meet people like this anymore. We may meet people with cancer or COVID or various other ugly diseases, but not leprosy. Leprosy used to be an incurable disease in Jesus' time, but we have efficient medication. I have read that leprosy begins with white, insensitive spots on skin, continues with various ugly symptoms, and ends with dead parts of the body falling off. Just to remind you, leprosy is a contagious disease. The ill persons were not allowed to live with others in Jesus' time. They even had to warn them not to get close. They were unclean, which meant they were excluded from worship, and it was bad for Jewish men. A man with leprosy found Jesus, we read in Mark. We know nothing more of him. He was probably not a significant person. On the other hand, we have read in the Old Testament about a very important man with leprosy. Naaman was a successful commander of an army, a mighty man, and he could not avoid that dreadful disease. He became helpless. Stories of people with leprosy in the Bible are stories of powerlessness and hopelessness. A person with leprosy was hit by a repulsive evil power. He is unclean. Those who would touch him would immediately be unclean too. Everyone turns away. Only death would wait for him. A man with leprosy is a lost case. He knows it will only be worse. Of course, if the symptoms disappeared, priests could declare him clean, but it never happens. The man found Jesus. He must have known exactly what he was doing. He knew it was worth gathering courage and approaching Jesus. He knew what he wanted to say. He must have been sure Jesus would manage to clean him. How did it happen that the man knew? I do not know. But somehow he found out. Somehow he discerned that Jesus was exceptional, and even more exceptional than people already thought. Jesus is extraordinary and can do unimaginable things. A man who could do nothing found a man, Jesus, who could do everything. They were not at the same level. You know, I sometimes meet people who stress so much Jesus is their friend that they start to behave as if Jesus were their companion. Hey, I need to get rid of my headache. And will you please help me find a job? But do not talk to my private life. Do not remind me my sin. Do not actually change me. The ill person in the body we read, did not think Jesus should improve just something on his body. Just remove one or two spots, and leave all the rest intact. He knew it was either or. Make me clean. Maybe he realized he had no other chance but fall on his knees and beg. He could do nothing else. He knew his only chance was to approach Jesus because Jesus could make him clean. But what does it mean, Jesus can? Sure, he can, but will he do it? We would probably prefer to read of somebody believing in Jesus more or believing better. We would like to have here a person who does not doubt, who knows everything ahead. The begging man is not exactly an example of a correct and nice doctrine for our correct and nice enlightenment. He is ill and people hate him, and he came to beg help. He is sure he can beg help, and he is not sure how it will end up. The certainty is here, it is real. But it is not present in the plea. It is present in Jesus' answer. It is nonsense to look for the certainty in the asking man, how eloquent he would be, how precisely or fervently he would speak. He asked, and Jesus answered. Both mattered. But the asking made sense only because of the answer of Jesus. Jesus' answer gave the meaning to the request for healing of the man with leprosy. The answer is very short. No long speech, no preaching. I am willing. Be clean. Do you like it? Should I stop here? Well, I am preaching, and I shall add to the shortened sentence a few thoughts. First, the brief sentence of Jesus is not a silence. I am willing is the best answer to I do not know if you are willing. Jesus expresses a lot in one word. The words, be clean, are a manifestation of an incomparable authority. The authority was granted to one man only, to the one who was sent by God to proclaim the coming God's kingdom. The authority to state this is accompanied by an authoritative deed. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. No one has touched the man for a long time, perhaps for many, many years. The touch is not just an expression of naive sympathy. At the moment, Jesus is a savior sent by God. He is a real representative of the one whose hand creates new, overcomes decay, creates love. Jesus' touch is proclaiming God's power. Another thought. Let us look what happened before the healing itself. It is just an inconspicuous remark. Jesus was filled with compassion. He was sorry for the man. Obviously, he decided to do something else than he had intended before. After all, he did not come to Galilee to heal sick. He did not rent a company to advertise his healing abilities. He prepared no billboards promoting Dr. Jesus. He came to Galilee to speak to people and tell them of God's kingdom. This was the task God had given him, to spread the good news. But the good news is here for people. Jesus does not disdain somebody who is a lost case. Jesus does not explain he would like to help but has many other more important things to do. Jesus' healing is not a mechanism of professionals. Jesus is so moved by compassion that uses his authority in an act that means a new beginning of life for the ill person. The man was made clean. And now I would like to speak of what followed. I have already said that there was a way for the person with leprosy to once again be among people in Jesus' country. If symptoms disappeared, a man should come to priests. They should examine him according to very strict rules, decide that the leprosy is gone, declare him clean, and bring sacrifices. After that, he is allowed to live with others, live as a human being, leave old things behind, and expect new ones. The cleansed man should go through this. He should return among people this way. This was the purpose. And Jesus warned him, "Do not tell anyone this." We understand why the man did not obey and was not able to remain silent about what he had experienced. But exactly what Jesus did not want happened. He let drop the fact Jesus touched an ill person. It looked as if this was an end of preaching. Jesus became unclean in the eyes of other people. We would call it a strict quarantine. Jesus was not allowed to enter a house, a village, a town. He had to stay outside in a deserted area. Of course, people could not be prevented from coming and looking for Jesus. They found him eventually. Only, perhaps, if the man with leprosy did not talk so much of himself and his experience, people could find Jesus more easily. The man had good intentions, but became an obstacle to people who looked for Jesus. Actually, and I am happy for that, Jesus also lets himself be found in spite of the ways the church draws attention to him. Really, sometimes the church is not very good at it. Sometimes a person speaks more of God's gifts than of God himself. We speak more of healing than of grace and forgiveness. So from time to time, people make Jesus stay outside the boundaries of a good society. Sometimes we tell God what he is supposed to do, and we talk of Jesus in an inadequate way. But Jesus is still here. He still acts with great authority, and what is more, he decides with compassion. So let us spread the good news. Amen.